But right now, it's time to catch up on Orange County government news. OrangeCountyNC.gov is the county's website for updates on what's going on. We're joined on the phone by Orange County Commissioner Penny Rich. Commissioner, how are you?
Good afternoon, Aaron. I'm doing all right. Hope you are.
I am doing, as I've been saying. This is... It's been one of those days. I don't know. Yeah.
So, I know. It's weird, right? You know, I mark my calendar now by Wednesdays. So this is kind of like the end of the week for me. Or is it the beginning of the week? I don't know.
Either way.
I don't know.
I can never tell. I can never tell when the week started and ended before the pandemic and the stay at home orders and everything. So now it's just a total lost cause.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so let's talk a little bit about what's coming up, because we are going to go back into session next week on the 1st. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Tuesday, the 1st, we go back. And so we have a pretty full agenda, and I was talking to you about this a little bit over the summer. You know, we were trying to hold off on some things because we wanted to make sure that we wanted to see if we were going to be back in person or not, and we're not. We're still going to be virtual. So we've got to continue with business. We can't hold things up anymore. So we've got a couple of meetings coming up that are going to be pretty heavy. And you know, things that we started before COVID, that we were just going to bring back either a meeting or 2 weeks later, and now we're going to bring it back like 3 or 4 months later. So that's what's happening. You know, people can stream us in. That's going to be the best way, or you can go and watch it on cable TV, but that, you know, on cable TV, it's kind of weird watching everybody at a Zoom meeting, right? I mean, have you tried that yet?
I have not. Yeah? No, I used to love when I was growing up watching cable access for the local town council meetings where I was growing up in Lansing, Michigan, and that was weird enough, to be honest. Like the public access, the videos, the kind of the weird wonky angles. So that's my threshold of weirdness. I don't know about watching Zoom.
I know it's kind of weird watching Zoom on a TV. Anyway, you do have access to the meetings. That's my point here. You can watch it. You can actually call during a meeting and listen on your phone if you don't have the greatest internet service, which we know a lot of folks out in the county do not. You can also turn your phone into a hotspot and try to use that as, you know, the conduit to get your computer hooked up into the Zoom meeting. So there are a number of ways that you could do this. And we're also encouraging people that don't have time to sit on a 4-hour Zoom meeting. If there are any comments as the agenda hits, you know, please email us and say we want to read them on. Please read these at the meeting. And then it'll go into a public comment, and it'll be, you know, provided in a minute.
I was going to ask, what's on the agenda yet for Tuesday?
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So we've got a number of proclamations that we've been holding off on or just needed to, you know, get together. So, of course, the first one is going to be honoring Donna Baker, and we're also considering the possibility of naming our meeting room in Whitted after Donna. And then we have a resolution because Judge Buckner has retired, and we have a resolution honoring him. We have a proclamation honoring Major David Caldwell, which is going to be kind of interesting because when our deputies, and he was a major, retire, they have the ability to take their sidearm with them. So there's a little process that goes on there, which will be nice. And then we are going to recognize the 55th anniversary of the Voting Rights Amendment, and of course we'll celebrate women, the 19th Amendment. We'll talk a little bit about that at the end before we sign off today. And then Quintana and Travis are going to give us a COVID update. We haven't had one because we haven't been meeting, but it's a good time to have that update from Quintana Stewart, who is our health director. Travis will give us a little bit of an update on the additional CARES money that we're getting and how we're going to spend that money. So, and there'll be an opportunity for commissioners to ask questions in the public. So that's just proclamations and resolutions. We didn't even get to the meat of the agenda yet. The regular agenda is going to have something coming back to us about clarification of setbacks from the West Fork and the Eno River Reservoir. We started talking about that, geez, maybe back in February. So that's coming back now. And then there's a resolution to adopt Juneteenth as a county holiday for our county staff. And you know that a lot of the towns and the counties surrounding us have already done that. We just didn't have the opportunity because we don't meet over the summer. So that's kind of exciting. And then the Veterans Memorial construction approval, we're in a second phase of that. And there has been enough money raised between county funds and donations. So we'll be able to go into a second phase of that. And you'll be able to see that when the agenda drops, you'll be able to see what that kind of looks like. And that'll happen, the agenda drops at the end of the week. And then one last thing on the regular agenda, that which was a petition by one of our board members and some of our community to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. And I imagine that would be, that's going to be an interesting conversation. And then the rest, you know, the consent agenda, what we normally have on there is, there's nothing that we haven't talked about when you think about consent agenda that's on there. And then lastly, we will have a closed session to decide how we're going to handle our interim clerk position. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are. It seems busy, and I think it will be. I think it's going to be a long meeting. So if you are going to come on and make public comment, 3 minutes at the beginning for things that are not on the printed agenda, anything that you want to talk about that is on the agenda, you need to contact David Hunt, who is the deputy clerk right now, and he will help you out with sending you a link, and so you can come and speak to us.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for the full agenda when it comes out and more information on the Board of County Commissioners meeting. Turning back to COVID-19, since you brought that up in the discussion of the agenda, we have seen a recent increase in case numbers in Orange County. We just passed 2,000, and I know a number of those cases are coming from the spikes on campus, but not all of them. So what can you tell us about the latest numbers and what folks should know?
Yeah, and that's correct, Aaron. And if you look at the bar on the Orange County data, so there's lots of data to look at, right? You have Orange County data, then you have the state data, then you have the university data. And they're all sort of reporting in different ways. So it might be confusing, but you should be able to look at, if you look at the whole picture, you can see that the majority of the cases are coming from UNC. And we could tell that by the age group that are testing positive. It's that 18 to 24-year-old test positive. It's been spiking. We knew it was going to spike. We're having numbers in the 80s of positive tests. And again, I'm going to tell you that a large portion, very, very large portion, is from UNC. As our health director put it, we have a couple of one-offs here and there, but that is not where the cases are coming from. And so what are we doing? We're constantly in communication with UNC. We are trying our hardest to discourage any kind of gatherings and parties. WCHL did a report on the citations that were issued in mm-hmm. the past couple of days. This is something that we really didn't want to do. But here we are, we did it. And, it's time to get serious, folks. We cannot, continue to see these parties. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to the students. It's dangerous to the community. So that's one thing we're doing. We're also trying to increase testing. UNC has been increasing testing, and, today and tomorrow we have, available tests over at the Hargrave Center from 10 to 2. That happened today, and it will also happen again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Hargrave Center in Chapel Hill. You can walk up. We brought this together pretty quickly, and it was mainly to try and get students that weren't going to student health that maybe didn't want to for some reason, but they do live in the North Side area or around the Chapel Hill area. They could just walk right up to Hargrave's, sign up, and get a test. And so that will continue tomorrow, again, from 10 to 2 p.m. over at the Hargrave Center. And you don't have to sign up or anything. You just go over and they'll get all the information from you when you go over there. So that's really it. You know, the testing, Aaron, and the contact tracing we are stepping that up, and that's going to be the most important part to try and combat this right now.
Speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, tangentially related, obviously the pandemic is having a huge impact on nursing homes and causing nursing homes to have to close to visitors and implement a lot of pretty significant restrictions. I don't know if you've seen this, but there is a report on ProPublica this week that specifically in North Carolina, I think there's one other state, but the report focused on North Carolina, that there's concern that residents in the nursing homes are not going to be able to vote in the upcoming election if they rely on voting absentee, because they can't have visitors in to help them, and there are state level rules about nursing home attendants and staff helping the residents specifically with voting, and that's specifically a North Carolina thing. So is there anything happening on the county level that you know of to make sure that people who are living in nursing homes can vote when they don't have their typical witnesses to be there to help them out?
You know, this is the first that I'm hearing of it. I mean, this is an excellent question. I've been doing voting questions of the day on my Twitter feed, and this is one that I haven't heard, but it absolutely makes sense, because my sons have actually always done absentee ballots, and so they have always had the rules sent to them. And there are things that on the absentee ballot, which is also called the mail-in ballot, at the bottom, you have to sign if you actually help someone with their ballot. And I didn't know that was a North Carolina thing. I thought that was all over the country. But
I think that's all over
the
country. But then there's like specific rules about who can sign and who can't sign. Yeah,
can sign it. Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting question that I don't want to answer if I don't have the exact answer to, because then people say, "Well, she said that on the Aaron Craig show," and I'm like, I don't want to go there. So I'm gonna get back to you, because I'm interested in that now as well. I think it's. Yeah, and I think we've had issues. We did a really good job of shutting down those nursing homes early after they became hotspots. And you know, some of them are still in the outbreak status just because of the numbers. But we've done a really good job with the strike teams going in and working with not only the folks that live there, but you know, the people that work there. Just as important. You know, they live together. You know, they're living and working together. You know, on a daily basis, so that you have to make sure that you're treating everybody, not just the residents of them. So, I'm going to get back to you on that one. That's pretty cool.
Again,
I will do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know when ProPublica put that report out. I hadn't been there in a couple of days, so it might have just come today. So this might be this might be hot off the presses for them too. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Hot off the presses. But it's an important issue, and I hadn't thought about it either until I read that piece.
I know. It's pretty intense right now what we're talking about voting, right? Even trying to organize. I'm the chair of my precinct, the town hall precinct in Carrboro. Even trying to organize volunteers, and me feeling safe organizing volunteers to have them out there at the polls. You know, just being the county commissioner that's signing all the orders. I don't know how actually good I feel about telling people that it's okay to be out. You know, at these polling places. So we'll see. I mean, I know there's going to be all kinds of precautions put in place, but we'll see how that goes. I just want to talk about women for 1 minute. I know we're running low on time, but you know, we are celebrating women. It is today is Women's Equality Day, and that was with the passage of the 19th Amendment. But I know that you are a history buff. You and my good friend Tom Jensen. I don't know who reads more history books. It's got to be a toss up there. I'm not quite sure. But I've been doing a little research on this because we are going to be passing a resolution. And you know, it's interesting when you look up the 19th Amendment to find out who was who worked so hard to get this passed. It was women of you know, it was white women and women of color. But after the amendment was passed, it was clear that only the white women were going to get to vote. Mm-hmm. And women of color were not, you know, specifically black women were not even thought of as being part of this community now of voters. But then if you dig a little bit more into the history, it's really pretty fascinating about what America did to, you know, the Latinx population, the Native population, the Asian American women. They couldn't vote as late as 1975. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we think that we want to celebrate those 100 years, and I think we have to celebrate because it's important, but we can't forget about the other part, you know, the other parts of the history where it was really a great achievement for white women, but women of color were just didn't get there until, you know, maybe 50, 70 years later. And it's just stunning when you start reading about the history and the different, you know, exclusion acts. And of course, we know about all the literacy tests and the polling taxes. And, you know, we're not any different today with gerrymandering and, you know, all these voter ID laws. I mean, it's clear who they are, you know, who they want to stop from voting. So keep up the fight. You know, women, we've got to keep doing this and making sure that we are inclusive now and all the time moving forward. So important.
And we're talking about women voting, women serving as elected officials, and also women working in government. We're speaking with County Commissioner Penny Rich, and kind of segueing off of that, I wanted to get your thoughts on Dinah Jeffries, who's stepping down as Emergency Services Director.
Yeah, Dinah's been awesome. You know, as you know, she is the leader right now of our MAC group that meets on Tuesday for COVID. That's the multi-agency coordination group. And so her and Quintana Stewart have been actually leading the county through this COVID crisis. I know everyone thinks that it's the elected officials that has been doing that, but it's not. It has been our emergency services and our health department. And that's pretty standard when you go into a state of emergency that you try to keep the politics out of it. You put the people in charge that their expertise is getting the job done. And so Dinah has been just amazing. She's been with the county for, I think, over 30 years, started as a, you know, God, she must have been 3 when she started because she looks so damn good today. And she's just amazing. She's an amazing woman. I know she was talking about retirement last year, but she did want to get us through some of this COVID stuff. And she's been just remarkable. And not only, you know, having a woman in charge of your emergency services, but she's a woman of color. And you know, so is Quintana. And this is really important to us in Orange County because things that we value, we make sure happen in Orange County. And having 2 women lead us through COVID and 2 women of color, it's remarkable. And I'm just so proud of both of them. I'm going to miss Dinah a lot. She is a go-to person. She is on speed dial on my phone. And she knows to pick up the phone and say, okay, what do you need? So I'm going to miss her a lot. I wish her well in retirement. Yeah.
And again, orangecountync.gov for more information on county government, and check the website later on in the week for the agenda for next week's meeting of the Board of County Commissioners returning to session next week, Tuesday. County Commissioner Penny Rich, as always, thank you so much.
Awesome, Aaron. Talk to you next week.